I'm Judge Bobby Baldock, and we're listening to the Tales of the Tenth.
Hello, and welcome to Tales from the Tenth, a podcast about the rich history, culture, and contributions of the Tenth Circuit, brought to you by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit and the Tenth Circuit Historical Society. I'm your host, Leah Schwartz.
And I'm producer Tina Howell.
We are so fortunate to have Judge Bobby Baldock joining us today to share this story. Tina, as court librarian, what can you tell us about Judge Baldock?
He's amazing. Judge Baldock is a senior judge for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit. Born in Rocky, Oklahoma, Judge Baldock eventually moved to New Mexico, where he graduated from the New Mexico Military Institute, and later served as a captain in the New Mexico National Guard. Before his nomination to the bench, he practiced law in Roswell, New Mexico for over 20 years. He was first nominated to the bench in 1983 and has now served in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit for over 35 years.
Without further delay, here's Judge Bobby Baldock.
Well, as I told you the other day, I got this accent in New York City. So anyway, that...
We can understand you. I thought that would have been an accent from Rocky, Oklahoma.
That is. I don't know how it is, but I can recognize a person from Oklahoma real quick. So
that's great. Rocky can't be too big of a town. I don't think I've ever heard of it before.
I don't even think it exists anymore now, Lee. I really don't. I know that when Chief Judge Henry, he found Rocky some way and got him to do a little certificate that made me mayor of the city for a day. So how he did it, I don't know, but he did. So anyway.
That is wonderful. Good thing to have friends that are judges, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you ready to get started?
I am ready.
We actually met, you and I, back in December of 2013. I was one of the fortunate law clerks who got to take part in your tour of the Byron White Courthouse. I don't expect you to remember me because you give this tour, I think, to every incoming law clerk you probably have for quite some time. Is that right?
That's correct. I've done it for a long time.
So we've already mentioned you're from Rocky, Oklahoma. How did you end up in New Mexico?
Well, when I was 10 years old, my parents moved to Roswell, and my father was in the lumber business, and he became a manager of one of the Kemp Lumber Companies here in Roswell, New Mexico. So that's how I ended up in Roswell.
Can you explain to our listeners how you ended up being appointed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit?
Well, yes. When I became a federal district court judge, we had to move to Albuquerque. And I had told my wife earlier that we would not have to move. So I was in a little bit of trouble. And I was only on the district court bench about 2 years and 8 months or something like that. Unbeknownst to me that Oliver Seth, who was a circuit court judge, he took senior status. And I was immediately called by the Senator Domenici at that time, and he said that he and the president had talked and wanted to know if I would consider being elevated to the circuit. I had no idea that was coming, and I said, well, I've got to visit with my wife about that because I don't make decisions without the two of us being in agreement. But I was trying a case in Las Cruces, so I drove all the way back to Albuquerque on the weekend. The senator told me they needed to know by Monday. I asked my wife what she thought about that, and her question to me was, do we have to move to Denver? And I said, no, at the circuit level, I can live basically anywhere in the six states that our jurisdiction has, but I could also live in Roswell. And she said, go for it. So I did.
That's great. So did you move back to Roswell then?
Oh, listen, I had to get out of the way of the door before my wife would run over me because this is her home and she was ready to come back to Roswell.
What is your favorite thing about being a judge?
I love the law, and I had a great trial practice, and I enjoyed the district court bench. And I was prayerfully hoping that I had an ability to weigh facts and to read law and to make a decision.
Is there a part about the job, Judge, that you don't like as much?
Oh, my land. When I took senior status, I told him, I said, I'll continue to carry a full load, but I am not going to serve on any more death penalty cases. I knew that the death penalty on the basis of the decisions and the Constitution was legal, but I had had my fill of being involved on death penalty cases. Those reach, as any case should, but they reach to the very core of your being.
Outside of being a judge, what do you most enjoy doing?
Fly fishing. I mean, is there anything else besides that? We have in New Mexico, we're a high desert plateau, but we have one of the world's greatest fly fishing areas in the San Juan River. And I've fished in Wyoming, the Green and the Yellowstone, and been up in Montana, but the San Juan River and its quality waters. Once I fished there, and it was the first year in 1988 or 1989, Judge Ebell and I took Justice White.
And when you say Justice White, you were referring, of course, to Justice Byron White?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so you had an opportunity to go fly fishing with our court's namesake.
Yes, that's correct. And I've also... I had Justice Scalia on the San Juan for 8 days, too, a few years ago. And what a fantastic trip. And he's he loved fly fishing.
That's right. Well, I have to ask if they were successful.
Yes.
Justice White and Justice Scalia.
Oh, Justice White was an excellent fly fisherman. Justice Scalia put his whole heart in. I have to tell you this one story with Justice Scalia. We had a discussion, almost a legal decision, on when was a fish caught. Now, I maintain that whenever you hook a fish and you plame and they get off, you nonetheless caught the fish. And he, now talk about an originalist. His concept was a caught fish was not caught until you put it in your net. And then you could release it. So one day he and I were out in the middle of the river and we'd gotten out of the boat because I knew the place he was fishing, he was going to catch some fish. So I was out fishing a few yards from him and he did. He caught several fish, but he did not have his net and he was having to catch them and then take the hook out of them because all catch and release. So we finally got back in the boat. And Justice Scalia told me, he said, did you see all those fish I caught? I said, you didn't catch one fish. And he said, well, you saw me. And I said, no, you didn't have them in your net. And so that became the first exception to the main rule, is that if you don't have your net with you and you catch a fish, it's caught.
That is great. That is great. I'm surprised he didn't say it had to be on the plate to be caught. Well, so you've obviously meant a lot to your colleagues on the bench being a judge as long as you have. I'm wondering how you think that they might describe you.
I have no idea. I mean, they haven't thrown anything at me yet. No tomatoes or anything like that. So I hope and pray that they think I'm studious and that I get things right by following the facts and following the law of each case that I hear. I hope that's the way they consider me.
Absolutely. Who, Judge, has meant the most to you with respect to your professional life as a lawyer and a judge?
Oh, that's an easy question. Our state district court judge by the name of George L. Reese, Judge Reese. And he was a stickler, extremely bright. As a young lawyer, when I started practice in 1960, he was the state district court judge for the 5th Judicial District here in Chavis County. He was a strict taskmaster I think he had every case in the state of New Mexico memorized because you couldn't surprise him about any case. He was tough on all of us young lawyers. And the most dreaded thing that you wanted to hear when you were trying a case is, "Counselor, I'll see you in my chambers." And you knew that one of you was in real trouble. You just hoped it was the other person. So, I can't tell you what a fantastic man and a learned jurist that he was, and a great mentor.
How about your personal life, Judge? Who's meant the most to you? Guessing I know the answer based on what you've mentioned so far.
Spunky and I have been married for 64 years. Not only is she the love of my life, but she's been the greatest sounding board and a person of wise beyond her years. And all I can say is words cannot express how much I love my wife.
You've been very lucky. How about the 10th Circuit, Judge? Is there a figure within the 10th Circuit who particularly inspires you, past or present?
Several. One of my favorite colleagues came on the court the same year I did, Steven Anderson from Utah. He reminded me a lot of Judge Reese, and that always prepared, always what I referred to and told him several times, laying landmines for the lawyers, because he actually knew the cases better than the lawyers knew. And I would just sit and listen to the question, because I knew, figured out real quick from reading the briefs and the research, I knew where he was going. The lawyers knew where he was going, and there was no way they could avoid the trap. But Steven Anderson, and just one of my dear colleagues, and one of the other ones, Judge Stephanie Seymour from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she became, of course, one of our chief judges, but always prepared. I don't think I ever heard a cross word come from her mouth to the lawyers. Now, she'd hang it on you if you weren't really careful, but she would do it in such a nice way that the lawyers knew they had been had. That's all there is to it. So, and a great chief judge, she really was. So those basically, and both of those are senior judges now, and both of them, Judge Anderson is in I forgot what kind of senior status he's in, but Judge Seymour is in senior status, just like I am, and still carries a caseload.
One of the things we've been thinking about on this podcast, Judge, since it's about the 10th Circuit, is what characteristics define the 10th Circuit, if anything? Do you think that there's any unique qualities or characteristics that you'd attribute to the 10th Circuit or 10th Circuit lawyers?
Oh, absolutely. First, starting with the court, it's the collegiality of our court. We meet together, although for the last year we've suffered greatly. Our terms of court, we are all together in Denver. As you can imagine, as you know, lawyers have disagreements, judges have disagreements. But at night, every evening after we hear cases, we get together and we're able to get to know one another's spouses, our kids, the ups and downs of what makes us tick. We're a very close-knit group of judges, which I sit with other circuits. None can compare to the 10th Circuit. We may disagree, but that's based on the law, not because we just disagree because I'm this way or that way. And my colleagues, they're all extremely bright. It's just a joy and a privilege to work with them. It's just a joy and a privilege. And that's what sets the 10th Circuit Court apart from all the other courts. Then the lawyers of the 10th Circuit, most without exception, know that we demand good lawyering. You're going to hear about it one way or the other if you're not presenting a good case, of which most of the time we see fairly good lawyering. And the New Mexico lawyers know that they're going to hear from me if they don't live up to the standards that good lawyering should match.
What advice would you give to younger lawyers, Judge, who are starting out in the legal profession?
You just have to work hard, but be able to organize your time so that family still has a priority And so that's my best advice that I can think. Work hard, but make sure you have a priority in life of which your family still comes first. I tell my law clerks, in knowing me and where I come from, I have a priority in life that I want them to understand about me. There's three things that I recognize in life. Number one, the first and foremost is my God. Secondly is my family. And then third is my work. But I do the very best for all three that I'm capable of doing.
Thank you.
Today's episode was produced and edited by Tina Howell and contains original music by Brent Cohen. Special thanks to Stacey Guion, Greg Kerwin, Diane Bowersfield, Judge Baldock, and Linda Brown. I'm Leah Schwartz. See you next time.